days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, sweeter as the days. Aren't you glad that it does? Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, sweeter as the days go by. Amen. Do you really mean that tonight? Does this great truth that you and I are so privileged to believe, does it mean more to you every day that you live? Isn't it wonderful to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only a servant, but a son and a daughter of the Most High King. Turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege. Yes, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're such an honor to get to be back in the house of the Lord. How many of you enjoyed camp meeting here Wednesday night? How many of you are glad to be back in camp meeting on Saturday night? What a privilege it is. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Randall, if you'll get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Charlie Torres he's asking for prayer from all of us that love him, and I guess that just about involves everybody that knows him. They love him, don't they? Amen. He's home from the hospital, but still very weak and dizzy. His jaw is still healing. He has not had to have surgery as of yet, so they're asking that we would just remember Brother Charlie Torres. Their goal was to be here by the 1st of June, and that may be a little bit longer in the making now. So let's pray for Brother Charlie, Sister Chevy Torres, just wonderful people. We love them, don't we? Amen. Sister Brenda Harmon and family need prayer tonight. They're asking that we would remember them. I want to pray for Cora Hayworth, 17-year-old, was in a car accident today, being checked at the hospital for several injuries. Also, Cora's grandmother passed away today, so they're asking that we would remember those needs tonight as we pray. So we just commit these things unto the Lord. And I'm saving something for last right here, but Brother Keith, I want you to get ready to do something for me, if you would. Brother Amos sends this in for Sister Trui Weeb. I hope I got that name right. On her return trip from Bolivia to Canada on Monday and Tuesday. She also needs guidance from the Lord. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Then this is an update on Brother Keith Strader. He'd sent this in to the library. An update on Brother Ervil McKamey. They were unable to do the ultrasound this morning. They took him off pain meds through the night, and his pain level was too high. So we try again on this coming Monday. The therapist came in and done some work with him. He was able to stand and move around just a little bit. So a lot of details there, but we just want to pray for that need, Ervil McKamey, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. God is certainly mindful of all of our needs tonight. Do you believe that? Sometimes we think, well, he don't care about my little, but he cares. He really cares about your need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Now, save this for last, because Brother Keith can tell you in his own words a lot better than I can. A couple of Sunday mornings ago, Brother Donnie read a quote. And about that time when that quote was read, heaven came down and kissed us. And a lot of people that were in very dire need of things going on in their lives, I believe God troubled the water for them that morning. I certainly do. Brother Keith, come and give this testimony. And Brother Randall, if you come on, be getting ready to lead us to the Lord. Appreciate Brother Keith Phillips, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy. God bless you.
I had a CT scan and a bone marrow biopsy. And I don't recommend that for anybody. But I went to the cancer doctor Wednesday, and he told me that there was some enlarged lymph nodes, which is kind of normal. And he told me that the bone marrow results came back very good news, positive. The genetic markers were good, and that from his standpoint, I don't need any treatment. He said it was a slow, it's a stage 1 to 2, which is slow, 90% of the time very slow growing, and that it may be years before I need treatment. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to rapture any day, so I don't be thinking there's no treatment. And then at the end he said, well, you know there's no cure. Well, I just, something in me couldn't let that go. And I said, well, there might be no natural cure. But I said, God is a miracle-working God. And you know, as it goes, he gave me the smile that we've all seen when we're testifying to certain people. And he said, God will certainly bless us. And, of course, that's true. So in my belief system is that either we're going to rapture, or he's going to make the doctor prove that he's a miracle worker by his reports. So I thank you all for praying with me, standing with me on this journey. It's an honor for the Lord to choose me for this. And I think we've heard to have a testimony, you have to have a test. And so it was amazing, because I'd been a nurse for a long time, and I just never had anything like that happen. And when it comes along, I never had any fear. And what I have been feeding into myself all these years came pouring out. And so I thank y'all very much, and to God be all the glory.
Amen. He's mindful of us. Let's bow our heads. Our lovely Lord Jesus, we bow in your presence this evening, Lord, thanking you for your love and your mercy and your grace to us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening, Lord. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be able to be here, Lord. Thank you for your love. We welcome you into our midst this evening, Lord. May you have the preeminence in this service, Lord. May you bless each and every part of it, Lord. Anoint the music, Lord. Anoint the singers, Lord. Anoint the speaker, Lord. May we hear from you tonight, Lord, in a special way. I bring the needs that were spoken before you, Lord. Every hand that was raised, Lord. Every need that was mentioned, Lord. I know you're mindful, Lord. Just heard our brother's testimony, Lord. We're so thankful for what you've done for him, Lord. What you've done for each and every one of us, Lord. How you've blessed this little group of people, Lord. We're just so thankful for it. I pray you bless the remainder part of the service. Anoint Brother Donnie in a special way, Lord. Speak the words of life to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randall. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you in the service with us. I know we do have some folks visiting tonight, I believe from Ohio. So we're glad to have those folks with us tonight. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. You know what? He came looking for you, and He found you. Aren't you glad you are no longer lost, but you now are found? No longer in darkness, but great light has overtaken you. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He came looking for me. Let's sing that tonight. One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith but all gone, I met the one who came looking for me. Came looking for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave and planned to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care? I'd soon be lost. I knew my destruction was a matter of time. But Jesus appeared, said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way. Could see when I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul. Come all my fear, now I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one came looking for me. Now I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one came looking for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that, don't you? Let's sing a little bit of this chorus. As Brother and Sister Gilreth, if they'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Sister Tamika, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. We'll go around into the service tonight. Got some great singers here tonight. Going to be singing for you. But let's sing this little chorus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Now, Satan would have you believe that you're just you're barking up the wrong tree, as the old saying goes. But I'm going to tell you something. Our God is real. Our God is alive. Jesus told him one time, he said, now you're going to be witnesses of me in Judea and Jerusalem. And they were. All over the world, they witnessed of the power of what Christ done in their day. Now, you know what? It's come down to our day. You're going to be witnesses of the power, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be a witness for Him tonight. I'll take the stand and witness for my Lord. How about you? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. There's still power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. Oh, sing it to Him. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they come to sing. Sister Tamika, if you want to come.
For my soul, mercy said no. To you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side.
What wonderful love we have experienced by the grace of God. Let's turn tonight to Luke chapter 15, verse 28. Our setting is a new birth, contrasting with a first birth, creating quite a dilemma in the home. It normally does, don't it? And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. As we said, remember, he's slandering. He's not even telling the truth. Wasn't his father's living. He don't know he was with harlots. He assumes that he was. But he's telling it as if though it's facts. He had a big Facebook account, no doubt. He had all kinds of videos on YouTube where he told this same type of slander. I'm just updating him. You know, this is his profile in this day. And thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. Dead. And is alive again. And was lost and is found. Now remember, this is the contrast between Brother Will, now as we looked at him last week, Brother Flesh and Brother Seed. But intentionally, I didn't tell you Brother Seed's middle name. You see, Brother Seed has a middle name. It's Seed Gene. Not Gene like you. Seed Gene. This is this younger brother's name, Seed Gene. Now, let me read this to you from the Spoken Words Original Seed. I'm a Branham because I was born of Charlie and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. I love the way he says this. It's phenomenal to me. Their two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. When God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah. Now watch, it goes straight from Him, His mother and father, is what made Him a human being, and then He goes straight to the divine side. When God and His seed becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, and it produces God. Come on now, swallow it down. It produces God. It's not the individual, it's God. For what? Ye are dead and ye are not yourself anymore. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. There he is, the younger brother. The seed germ, what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ, like the beginning spoken word. That ought to make a Baptist have a spell. It's a seed germ, like the beginning spoken word, God's word made manifest in the man. Now notice, he ain't saying preachers and prophets and all that in you individuals. Then it isn't the man, it's the man that died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. Oh, praise God. I got a feeling we're in for something tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many like to be remembered before the Lord as we pray? Also like you to remember Carol. She still isn't feeling well. Tried to get ready to come to church and just didn't feel like coming. So just remember her as well. Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, we are so thankful for your love and your mercy. Dear God, we heard the songs as they were singing about your love, how that mercy said no, and then the greatness of your love and the second special that reached out to us, and how thankful we are. I pray tonight, Father, that we would have a little clearer understanding of that by the time this service is over. Lord Jesus, you saw the uplifted hands of your children as they're gathered here tonight. And no doubt many that's streaming from different parts of the world. And their hands were uplifted as well. And I pray for my own beloved wife that you'd be mindful of her tonight, Lord. That you'd touch her and strengthen her. Father, may she be well enough to be able to come to church in the morning. Father God, we pray that you would just anoint our hearts tonight. As I endeavor to try to speak by inspiration what you've given me, I pray that you'd help me to get out of the way, and Lord, that I could make it clear. Lord, may you anoint them that they might be able to receive it, Father. So anoint the speaker and the hearer that the word may become germatized by the breath of God. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. You know, your new birth, my new birth, is not of the old order. We came to this earth without a choice, even without a desire, really. Born in the old order, which had been given to us since the fall of man in the beginning. We know Peter sets forth a very strange thing in the setting of the creation of the earth. Actually, Brother Branham calls it stages of the earth. And Peter identifies it, and he calls the earth as standing in the water and out of the water. And it shows us that there was stages of the earth in the antediluvian destruction and the pre-antediluvian destruction, and where the earth actually is now. And he called it an order or a system by which the earth was operating under. So initially it was in the water before the earth was born. Then it became out of the water when the earth had her birth. And then she was standing out of the water whenever the mist was over her. Kind of like you and I by the natural birth and by the spiritual birth as well. So we know that God has an order of the earth, of the world, and he's leading it back by regeneration or reconciliation. And then we know also that our first birth was by this old order. So then if the earth was in the water and out of the water, and then the earth after the post-antediluvian destruction, then the earth was standing out of the water, being cleansed and dried and set forth for the creation of God to bring forth life, then it shows us three stages of the earth: in the water, out of the water, the mist dried away, and then after the fall, of course, whenever the earth was baptized, and the breath of God bringing forth the breath of life on the earth. And we know that it's the same with the predestinated seed of God: in the water, out of the water, out of the old order, into the new order, and then by the divine order of God, where we are today. Now, it can seem very confusing to the mind who would look at being germinated and germatized by the Spirit of God and saying that in you is that life that never did start. In you is something that never did sin and never can sin. And yet every week that goes by, we're constantly saying, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our failures. Do we not? And then it would seem as if, oh, it's a contrast. But remember, when the younger brother is truly born again, it brings a great variance in the house. It brings a great dilemma. And Father is speaking to both. both. Both the older son of the old order and the younger son of the new order or the new birth, and giving them both their place. Now the Father, when it comes out to the Son, he does not bring condemnation or judgment upon the Son and say because the older son is still of the old order that there is no hope for him. Now he is separate from the old nature. Remember, when you were born, you were given a spirit by nature. But that spirit was made in such a way that it could die and the body still live. You were given a nature permitted by God. Not from God, but permitted by God. God knew in order, and remember what we're talking about is the sovereignty of God. In order to bring the greatness of God to display, God had to prearrange this whole plan. How is he ever going to allow man to fall and then ever place man on the earth and make man redeemable or make man where he can be regenerated? How can he ever do that when he knows every mortal that will ever be born after man falls will be totally contaminated? How will he ever get salvation to any of them? But remember, it is through the immutable, unchangeable counsel of God that he purposed within himself that nothing would ever stop his program. So he allows each of us then to be given a nature which is of the worldly nature. Also then, the old man, the outward body, is identified with the world, but he makes a way so that the worldly nature can actually die, and it will not be death to the body. And by letting the worldly nature die, it would release you from the first union that you had by natural birth. But it still leaves the older son alive, and because the Father tells him, everything that I have is yours. So the older son, the flesh, still has a promise in the reconciliation or the plan of redemption. Oh, thank God. Our body, the very sign that there is a resurrection, and to know that we are going to be changed, is the very power of God that has brought our bodies subject to the Word. This is the very sign that your body is going in the rapture, because your body has already started heavenward right now. Now, if you claim you got the Holy Ghost and you cannot make your body obey the Word, you ain't got the true Holy Ghost yet. The true Holy Ghost brings your body subject to the Word. Now, will it perfect it? Absolutely not. Subjection and perfection are not the same thing. Subjection is the word hupotasso, which means it is something that is brought under a higher order. So our body is made subject to the Word by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, but the body still isn't born again. So the body is subject by divine order. The body may not want to do it, but the body is commanded to, and it obeys what the soul says from within. Praise the Lord. Now then, every one of us come to this earth with this kind of a nature. Now let's look at it this way. We'll call it the old nature or the old man. In Romans 6, it's knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. No, here's something that was identified as the old man has died. But yet, the old man is not necessarily the older brother, or when the old man would have died, then the older brother should have died with him and been raised in the resurrection. Now remember, we're talking about how God sovereignly would arrange this plan in order to get a new birth to his genos, to his seed, his children. Now, then the old man is dead, but yet the older brother is still alive. Watch in verse 7, he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, then something in us that died, then sin has no more dominion over that part. And sin, we are no longer subject to serve sin. sin with that part which is raised from the dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. And what you notice now, how he separates the children of disobedience from the children of obedience. Yet in the past, even the children of obedience were partakers in the fellowship of the work of darkness, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now notice how he separates the elect from the rest of the cosmos, that the elect were also children of wrath by nature, but not by seed. You were not, notice the scripture does not say it that way. It says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, this is how that we shared, and again, the justice of God was absolutely correct and right and able to bring himself to be just before all of those who are not predestinated. See, the justice of God allowed even the elect to partake of a fallen nature to such a degree that their senses were darkened, their conscience was darkened, their life was darkened, everything about them, and they were actual partakers of this evil nature, but yet something had to happen in order to release them from this evil nature. But yet there won't be one, there'll not be one sinner that'll be able to stand before God and say, hey, I wasn't chosen, I wasn't elected, and you put them on a different basis. He'll point right back to a seed of God standing there and say, Father, I was born with that evil nature too, but I overcome it by your grace. Amen. Everyone will be without an excuse that day. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is how the justice of God was able to bring the elect, the ecclesia of God, to a place of full redemption and be justified in doing so. Because he allowed you and I to come to the earth and actually partake of this nature, as Paul says, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But he doesn't say now that we were children of the devil. We were children of wrath. And how were we? By nature. So by nature then, we were partakers of the fallen race. And this was of the old order. Then God has to bring it in then by a new nature. Now, if a nature is going to die, and you're going to take this nature out of this human being, then you've got to make a way for them to have another nature. They cannot live without a nature. And of course, the soul is the nature of the spirit. Now watch. Notice this. The prophet said, and knowest all things. If you believe, then you them little immortal things will just drop off. Now listen how hard it is to overcome if you're born again. If you believe, them little immortal things will just drop off like that. As you believe, you become love. Oh my goodness. As you believe, you become love. As you believe, you become love, and love is God, and you begin to wind yourself into Christ, and these other things, you don't have to quit doing them. They just quit themselves. There's just no desire to do it. Oh, glory. The worshiper, having purged, has no more conscience or desire of sin. See Hebrews 9, the worshiper once purged. You see what I mean? When the worshiper is purged, it's when he is born again. When his old nature dies and the new nature sets in. Now remember, you cannot be a born again, Holy Ghost filled Christian and have both of these natures in you alive at the same time. It is totally impossible. That's why the doctrine of two souls is absolute absurdity. It's contrary to the word. But you can have one nature that is wrong, and then that nature will die, and then a new nature will resurrect from a new seed, which is the prodigal son. Glory to God. Now, the old nature was actually married, but the new nature never was. It was a virgin. Amen. Glory. way. When his old nature dies and a new nature sets in, then he becomes a part of God, a son of God. He gets new life, and life, the Greek word is zoe, which means the life of God. Then you become an offspring of God. But what part is it that is the offspring? Right now, in the current setting, after the prodigal son has returned, and we're living in this household with the father and the returned son and the unredeemed son, we are living with eternal life that is still living inside of a mortal body or the older brother. Praise the Lord. But we're still living. Notice now that we're living under the mediatorship and the headship of the Father. And the Father was the one who was counseling them both. The Father was the one who was talking to them both. And they were both identified as brothers in the same household. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And God can't hurt you without hurting himself. You see what I mean? Praise the Lord. Again, he says conversion is the Holy Spirit that moves out the old nature. Now notice this nature. It moves the old nature out, and the new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. And when a man has truly been born of the Spirit of God, he has everlasting life. Jesus said so. Now this is what people, I believe with all of my heart, what people think in their minds that the new birth is. That they think that old nature actually gets saved. This is why they still want to become what they think becoming a son of God. And they want to receive the seed by hearing the word or listening to a tape or whatever more. Because they don't believe a deposit of sonship has been placed in them by foreordination of God. So then the old brother is still wrestling around with his will. My, don't get quiet over now. You're doing good. Now watch the Lamb of the Dove. If you want to be a Christian, just ask Christ. He will take your old nature out. Now you see, you cannot have that old nature alive at the same time. But a new nature can still live in the same old house. Isn't that amazing? A new nature can live in the same old house. As a matter of fact, in Future Home, he said it is a new creation in the same old temple. Oh, you say, well, then I can do whatever I want to do. I always do. I drink as much beer as I want, alcohol, whiskey. I have as many wives as I want, as many girlfriends as I want. Don't you? I just don't want none. You know why? My body is, my older brother is made subject to the headship under the Father through the avenue of the conversion of the prodigal son. Amen. You see, it's the Father controlling it all. So what does it do? It brings my body subject to the Word. Now, if I claim I've got the Holy Ghost and my body controls me and I can't live right and I can't overcome this and I can't overcome that, there's something wrong with my experience and also my confession. Amen. Right. Now, he said he took your old nature out and put a new nature in. You understand that had the new birth started from the outside, working itself in, you would have got a new body before you would have got a new nature. But he wanted to reverse the process and come from within and work from within, pushing itself out. So you get a new nature first, and you get a new mind, and you get a new makeup, and you get a new name, and you get a new revelation, and you get all this stuff. But most all of that is totally invisible, but the outworkings of it will be visible in your body. But yet you'll get older, uglier, fatter, skinnier, whatever more. And yet the people of the world will look at you and they'll know there's something different about you, but yet they see you getting sick. They see you giving all kinds of things. Why? Because he's working from the inside, working out. And the next thing is, when the older brother gets all the inheritance that the father told him, all that I have is yours. Glory! The young brother has already got forgiveness positionally placed. He's got the ring, he's got the shoes, he's got the garment. But the older brother, before there can be real true peace in this home, the older brother's got to get his inheritance. What is it? A new body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this in Hebrews chapter 6. Your old nature died, the nature of the world, and you become a new creation. Now remember, Jesus, the high priest, cannot marry a woman which has been married before. Now if your nature was married to the world, to the devil, and it was, and then you are simply forgiven of that marriage, and the Lord Jesus marries that same nature, you and him are in adultery. But if he kills that first nature, which was married to the world and to the devil, and gives you a new birth or new nature, which was never married, let me just go ahead and tell you, that's the one that never did it in the first place. Oh, hallelujah to God. That's the part of you that never did sin. Friends, the bride is not forgiven. The church is forgiven, but they can never be justified. Well, glory. I don't want to get into that. Not tonight, anyway. Your old nature died, the nature of the world, and you become a new creation. And your desires, that old life that had a beginning, glory to God, that old life that had a beginning when God breathed the breath into your nostrils when you were born, that life of a carnal nature died. It had a beginning and it had an end and it died and was done away with forever. That old nature, and God came in with a new nature. As far as receiving the Holy Spirit and being inoculated, a spirit in there that takes that old nature out and puts the new nature in. Again, conflict. When you become converted from a sinner to a Christian, it changes your opinions. And he's got different opinions tonight. It changes your own will. Oh my, brother Will. It changes your own will. It changes everything that's in you. And it brings you into another life. And it gives you another spirit that bears forth another record. Then your old life has to die. And a new one. Listen, your old life was not born again. It's not your own nature that went through a process and come back through a new birth. No. That prodigal that was born again was another boy. His attitude, his mind, he was a new creation in the same old temple. He was not the same one. He looked at his father different. He looked at himself different. He looked at his inheritance different. Amen. It was not the same boy born over again. This is where many people believe the new birth. That's what it is. It's the same old person reborn. Wrong. God don't want your old adultery. God don't want your old nature. Best thing God can do for it is kill it. That's the hard part with us, so we don't want to die. Oh my, notice, then your old life has to die and a new one has to be born again. Then you're no more the creature you was at all. Friend, this is why folks can't live right. This is why many folks around the message can't live right. This is definitely why they can't live right. Why? Because the preacher's just preaching the new birth to them and even born again. How can they preach a new birth if they don't even have it? Oh my, I love this, and souls in prison. It scares a lot of folks, but don't scare me. Now the soul of man is not the body of man, it's the soul. And the soul is something that's the nature of the spirit. Then when the nature of a man, he said, when we are dead, the scripture plainly tells us that we are dead and our lives are hid in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that your body died. It wasn't your spirit died. It was the nature of your spirit died. See, the nature which is the soul. That always has that effect. I've read that quote in different parts of the world, and it always produces that silence. It must be tied to the seventh seal, I guess. It's silent. The nature, notice now,
It wasn't your spirit that died. It was the nature of your spirit that died, which is the soul. So you mean the divine sovereign God set us up so that we could have an ill nature, a bad nature, even within us was a predestinated seed laying there dormant. And if he could get that nature to agree with the word, that nature could die. Momentarily, you would be without a nature. And the spirit could start quickening that predestinated seed. And all of a sudden, an old man died, and a new baby is born. Truly, you are a phoenix. You are a paradox. So the old nature died, which is what is it said? Now, you do believe this, right? I mean, y'all believe the message, right? We believe. All right. I just want to make sure now. The nature of your soul is God. If you're born again. But the nature of your soul is not God when you're first born under the old order. It's of the devil. Some of y'all was just old mean sorry sinners. Some of y'all were upper class sinners. Some of y'all were middle class sinners. Some of you was rich sinners. And some of you was poor sinners. But was all sinners. Some of you was church sinners, some of you was honky-tonk sinners, and some of you was all kinds of sinners, but we was all sinners. And we all had that kind of a nature and was all married. So whether you liked Alki Hole or whether you liked Baptist Alki Hole, whatever it was you liked in the world, you was of the world and you catered to it. And God made a way in order to have you a brand new birth that old nature of yours could die. And when it did, that little seed germ on the inside would go, whoa! It would scream to life, but they both couldn't be alive at the same time. One nature had to die to make a way for the other. Oh, glory to God. Laodicea and the millennium cannot be alive at the same time. Laodicea's got to pass away so the millennium can sit in. The nature of your soul is God if you're born again. If it's not, it's of the world. Anything that began has to end. So therefore, the only way you can have eternal life is to have a life that never did begin. And then your life did begin when you were born. When God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils. And you became a living soul. Then you began then. That nature that was in you. By nature you was of the world. Alienated from God. You were actually an animal. Praise the Lord. Look back at some of your actions and tell me you wasn't an animal. Humans without the Holy Ghost is lower than animals. Now there again, some of y'all might have been an alley cat, some of you might have been a bobcat, and some of you might have been one of these high dollar Persian kittens, but you're still a cat. We had a nature that was of the world. Right? By nature, you was of the world, alienated for God. You were actually an animal. That's right. Anyone knows that we are mammal. How many knows that? We are mammal. We're warm-blooded animal. But that is what we are by our earthly creation. But you see what made us different from other animals? God put a soul upon us. Now once again, identification. We are Christians by birth. That's what makes us new creatures. In our old nature. Listen to this. We could never be Christians. You see, friend, this is why the majority of Christendom will go into the tribulation period. They're trying to be Christians in their old nature. And they can't live right. And they have to write songs and preach sermons of why they can't live right. And you know, let's just lower the standards and compromise everything anymore. It don't matter. God knows we can't live right. If you're a girl and you was born a woman and now you think you ought to be a man and need a sex change. And, oh my, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think this is just, you know, happening by chance and all this time we're going on. Folks are getting a body change. Men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. But I think, you know, there's a real body change laying right ahead of the bride. Oh, glory. And the bride ain't wanting no sex change. She's wanting a body change. Hallelujah to God. People are out of their mind. Y'all better tell you one thing. There is a people on the gene. They've got the right birth. Oh, my. Lord Jesus. In our old nature, we could never be Christians, but yet many of you tried to. Put on that suit, put on that dress, and went to church. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go once a month where I need it or not. I'm going to go to church today. Let's go. I think we will. Why not? What do you think? We ought to give a little in the offering. Yeah, go ahead. The church don't need it, but let's go ahead and do a little something for God. But if you ever let that nature die, I'm going to tell you one thing. Going to church, you love it better than your food. Oh, yeah. Folks that have got enough religion will then go to church once a week and live 5 minutes away from church and got the Holy Ghost. I don't care what they say. You ever get God in that soul of yours? God goes to church. Oh, you say the people don't like me there. Didn't keep Jesus out of church. They hated Jesus. They talked about him. They run him down. As a matter of fact, one day when he went to church and he read the scripture in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says they grabbed him and they was going to throw him headlong down. You know what? It didn't stop Jesus from going back to church. He went right on back. People don't like me. People don't, I ain't going. You big baby, you. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you'll find a house of God to go to. If everybody there don't like you, if nobody shakes your hand, if they make you sit in the nursery and you're 700 pounds and 95 years old, you say, I'm going to the house of God. I want heaven to know whose side I'm on. I want hell to know whose side I'm on. I'm not going to forsake the assembling of myself with the saints of God. And if you don't feel that way, the prophet said, you better get to praying. Lord Jesus, that's kind of rough, wasn't it, sir? What's that in your own nature? We can never be Christians. That's the reason today we have so many calling themselves Christians and living any kind of life. They've never experienced that born again. That's something that changes you. Like pulling the blood out of a man that's got a certain type of blood and putting another type in him. It's pulling the old life out of the man and injecting the life of Christ in the believer. Then he becomes a new creation. And the saint said, amen. Can I go on? Invisible union, the first life of your natural union, you were joined in at birth by nature. I've been waiting all week long to preach this. I felt like a keg of dynamite with 14 matches stuck all around me and 47 fuses waiting to blow up. I hope somebody come to have church tonight. Hallelujah. Oh my. The first life of your first union, you were joined in by nature. Notice how he keeps saying this over and over again. By nature, not by seed. Only God could come up with such a plan. A natural human being associated with a man and woman together, associated together in a sexual affair, which brought forth your first life here. That's associated with sin and death. How can you missing the serpent seed, he says. Now it was nature. Associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. Natural, you love the world because you are the world. This is why Satan had a claim on us. Naturally, we're part of the world. And he looked at you when you come from your mother's womb and attached by that navel. There's another one of mine. There's another one of mine. Smack them. Hallelujah. They're mine. All of them's mine. Boys, girls, black, white, red, yellow. They're all my kids.
God just kind of smiled a little bit and said, that's what you think. There's an invisible union going on at the birth of every predestinated seed. He ain't just breathing the breath of life. He's blowing in a predestinated seed at the same time.
Now notice, he said, that's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to to that first husband. You can't live with it. You can't say, well, I'll divorce him and I'll hang him up here to the occasion. No, sir, no writing a divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. And you have to be reunited again with another nature. Reunited. Friends, that's the new birth. That's why you can go to church for years. You can listen to tapes for years and all this sort of thing for years and never be reunited again with another nature. That's what's happened to all these folks that's left the message. They've sat around for years and years and shouted and spoke in tongues. The Lord of God, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, but they had the same old nature. If they'd truly been born again, you'd think they could blast this message? No way. Notice the nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. And you have to be reunited again with another nature. Not that nature born again. In a few minutes, if the Lord helps me, I'm fixing to blow every one of you so far out of your pew, it'll take me 6 months to bring you back. Even in your very term, born again, there are probably in a half a dozen people here that even know what it means. But you're fixing to find out. Notice paragraph 216. Let's jump down here to this one. I'm going to get to this other so bad I can't hardly stand it. I'm hoping I can. Now, but when you are separated from that union by spiritual death, your natural desire to cut your hair, your natural desire to wear shorts. You see, friend, folks that do this, it's not odd to them. It's not strange to them. It's strange to them that you don't do it. It's their natural desire. When it gets warm, strip off. If you look like a pumpkin with two sticks stuck in it for legs, that don't matter. Strip off. You see people with great big old veins that look like I-26 up their legs, and they look as ugly as I don't know what, a baboon with hair all over it, and they want to pull their clothes off. You think, dear God, get us out of this world. If ugliness could kill you, we'd be dead. But what is it? It's their natural nature. It's their nature to drink. It's their nature to look for satisfaction and peace. That's why our nation leads the world in addiction to pain medication. Our nation leads the world in divorce. It leads the world. Why? It's their natural nature to be happy and longing for something. Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You gonna keep on, you gonna get me whooped or worse than that, killed. Notice this now, what happens? Now, your natural desire to cut your hair, natural desire to wear shorts, paint your face, your natural desire to be intellectual. Oh my. Intellectual, smart men knowing something better than the other. That's what Eve wanted. Well, you separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you're born again or remarried again. To the new spiritual union. Not of your natural life, of the things of the world, but of eternal life. That germ, glory to God, that was in you at the beginning, found you. That germ, oh yes, I found it. You never done no such a thing. You never even knowed you had one. It was a younger brother that brought you to your recognition, not the other way around. So that germ that was in you at the beginning found you. And guess what? That germ never was married. Now what? God says, now your old book is gone. What's your old union? Your name in the old has been transferred. You do mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of his forgiveness? You stand perfectly before God. Now your name is in the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Your new bride, not an old person made over, not patched up and washed up and so-called born again. Your new bride, oh glory, hallelujah. He said, your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. Your marriage certificate. And then he says that word I love. Hallelujah. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. So being born again is not the old nature. Going to an altar. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for all my drinking and my lying. Lord, I'm really sorry. And then God comes down and washes that old nature and says, here, let me give you a feeling now. Let me give you a little bit of tongues or a little bit of emotion. And what I'm going to do is take that old worldly sinful nature of yours and I'm going to wash it up and I'm going to patch it all up and I'm going to marry it. Preachers who feel like they have a right to marry a widow or to marry a woman who's been touched by another man, and they try to go back to the spiritual union of the bride of Christ, every time they do it, you know, right there, that preacher don't even understand the new birth. Woo, that went over like a lead balloon. Now watch, you must be forgiven now. Watch communion, paragraph 53. Let's skip 52 there because I want to get to this other part of it again. Then I was born again. That little life was laying there. The life of water was poured upon it. It began to grow. Now that old life was forgiven. So now here you have the record of your name, Jim Babb. And you've got a list under that old name. With that old nature. All kinds of things. Remember, he's not a crooked judge. It must be dealt with justly. That old nature's got to die. And then you've got to be able to destroy all the evidence against the old life. And forgive the old life. But at the same time, raise a brand new nature. Which never did it in the first place. Now, if you simply forgive that old nature, it will never be justified.
That's right. Amen.
Why? Because it was actually guilty.
That's right.
Lord have mercy, children. Take both hands and do this. It helps. That old life was forgiven. Now notice what happens when that old life is forgiven. It's put in the sea of for God's forgiveness to never be remembered against me. No more. Now we stand justified as though we never sinned in the presence of God. Ephesians 4:21. If so be that ye have heard and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay, so we put off an old man, and yet we're still living in one. Don't you understand why error is much easier to explain by reasoning than truth? Error can go to this ditch and it'll make total sense. Error can go to this ditch and make total sense. Truth will stay right in the middle and it'll always create more questions. And things that you won't have the answer to. One of the best signs to me to know that it is truth. What, Brother Donnie? Why, Lord have mercy, we got eternity to talk about all these things anyhow. Now watch, St. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's look at this word again. From above. Top. Again, from the first. From the beginning. You would have thought I was a holy roller big time when I clicked on that this morning early and found the meaning of that word. You would have thought, our poor pastor, he has lost his mind. I don't deny that one bit. Notice, now remember when the King James Bible was translated, it was much under the Armenian perspective of the new birth. So when they go to using the word, they want to bring it back through and they use the word again. Jesus actually said, from above. I'd have thought that would have brought more reaction than that. Notice, except a man be born from above. Now again, would lead you to believe that it's the same old person that's going to come through some kind of process and be born again. But that's not what Jesus said. My. From above, again, from the first, from the beginning, from a higher place. From the very first, anew, over, again. Look at the exact same Greek word in St. John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. Now here Jesus is, oh Lord, have mercy. Here's the Lord Jesus talking about himself coming from above. That's the same word he used when he talked about the new verse. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And except a man be born from above, he cannot understand election. He cannot understand predestination. Notice the same word again in John 19:11. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But the wisdom that is from above. So the new birth is not your old nature. Being born again, 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 again. It's your seed life being born from above. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. As generation produces natural life, regeneration produces spiritual life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And every generator produces the life that he is. Man produces man. Animal produces animal. I'm going to go ahead and say it. And God produces God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated. This is what the lost world is. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So if we are born from above, not in the sense of thinking, well, the old nature is forgiven and my old life is forgiven. This is why the prophet said you was accused of it. But in the first place, you never done it. Do you understand? The accuser is trying to accuse your new nature and lay your old life on your new seed germ. Glory to God. The begetter begets in likeness. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you also holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and exceeding promises, that by these ye are partakers of the divine. The divine. The divine nature. You cannot be a partaker of the divine one and the old man still alive and well. James 1:18. Of his own will. Uh-oh. Is Brother Will here tonight? Did he show up to church or is he mad? Is he still pouting over last weekend? Of his own will. Begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Then where's what you done? You tell me where you are included in this scripture, in this equation. Well, I done this and I done that and I let God. You done what? Of his own will begat. I let Don Reagan beget me. You need mental help, not just spiritual help. I let Don Reagan beget me into Betty Reagan? Nonsense. I let Almighty God beget me of his own will. This is why I am born from above. John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. Notice Jesus again in his conversation to Nicodemus in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So like will beget like. So John is speaking of two orders of existence. This is the same thing that Jesus is speaking of in the parable of the prodigal son. We can tell by the nature of these boys that there's two orders in existence. Two mentalities, two thought processes, one from the prodigal, which harmonizes with that of the father, And that one which will come into his place later, which is struggling with what the Father has to say. Mm-hmm. The physical world. So this is why that we have to fight this old carnal thing. Any of y'all still fight battles? Lord have mercy. I didn't realize the rest of y'all done got your glorified body. And y'all decide to pray for forgiveness? Forgive one another? Ask God to forgive you? Why? You saying people got the Holy Ghost? How many of you saying people got the Holy Ghost? You're born again? What is it? Both of you are living under the headship of the same Father. One of you's born again, and the other one's still angry. Praise the Lord. He's made subject to the word, but he don't like the word hupotasso. He can't even spell it, much less say it. And he sure don't like living under it. Praise the Lord. Now notice in Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, which is pneuma, which is the Holy Spirit, do mind the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and his seed. He that is born of God cannot sin because he is born of God. But that ain't the older brother. He'll catch up, poor old feller. He's slow as a turtle, but he's still in the race. He's going to catch up. He's going to get to where that he can't sin neither. Now, I know I like to choke you to death last week, but I'm going to say it again. My seed has never sinned. Never done one thing wrong. Now, this old boy right here, that's a total different story on him now. Can I go just a bit further? 1 Corinthians 15:45. Let's look at this. The last Adam is a quickening spirit. So it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look at this word quickening. To give life, make alive, to produce life, beget, or bear living young. The second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit which enabled him to bear living young. After Adam did what he did, he could go right ahead and father children, but they was bringing forth in death. But the second Adam could bear living young, live breeders. To cause to live, make alive, give life by spiritual power to arouse and invigorate, metaphorically of seeds quickened into life, germinating, springing up. This is who your husband is.
That's right.
Your last Adam is a quickener. Why? That's what his bride needed. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. I didn't need another man that had a living soul. I needed an Adam that had invigorating power that could quicken me. Why? I already had a soul. That was my trouble. But I had a seed there by representation which needed an Adam to be able to break forth the rising of the sun and invigorate my seed life and quicken me to marry him. Hallelujah to God. I had to marry him, but my seed was laying there lifeless. Amen. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So that which was not was first, which is the spiritual part. It wasn't first. But that which is natural, look at natural, sensual, or belonging to breath, the principle of animal life, which men have in common with the brutes, the sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. So that was first. The older brother. And that which is spiritual was born last. Notice this in verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now let's bring it on down to you. Your first man or woman was of the earth, earthy. The second man or woman is kings and priests from heaven. Remember, you're not born again in the sense of that old nature being reborn and washed up and patched up. You are a new person. You are born from above. Your father projected your semen from, oh, glory to God, I feel like speaking in tongues. Your father projected the semen of your seed life in his thinking before there was ever a foundation of the world. It had to come from heaven. You're born from above. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image. Here's the older brother. There's hope for him. He's coming long towards the world. Everything I have, son, is yours. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let me close. You see, whenever it was that you got born again, some of you probably don't even really know. Carol Esmond the other day was pulling out of the parking lot here going down the road. Just Sunday after church, she said, now it raises up the question in my mind, when did I get it? I told her, I said, I'm not sure when is the main thing we should be focusing on right now. She said, what do you mean? I said, I think it would be more of why. Not when. She said, you mean why I got it? I said, exactly. Seeing who you are has more to do with why you got it instead of when you got it. Glory. If I need to know when, I'll find out. But I'm finding out now why. Amen. Amen. Do you understand when you got born again? Did it happen all at once? Did it happen like that? We'll get into it, but let me just give you a preview. When the woman at the well began to hear the words of the Lord Jesus, the life began to break forth on that seed. And something started happening then. Is it a process? It is. But your new birth, born again, born from above, is the very seed of God being quickened by the Lord of heaven. There you have this nature which dominates you and makes you sin and makes you lie, and your flesh love doing it. But in a miracle, somehow God began to talk to that nature. God spoke to your nature, and your nature began to seek God. To me, that's one of the greatest miracles. And then you begin to say, God, I need to get straightened up. God, something it ain't right. Lord, I need. What was it? He began to move on you, and something started moving within your being. Once He brought you to the place that you consented to the death of your husband and the death of yourself. God, I surrender all. God, I give it all. I give every bit of it up. Then, by spiritual death, the judgment of God, you understand what happened? The judgment of God broke forth on that nature, and God annihilated it. That nature is not born again. That old life is finished. Divorced, if you want to call it divorce, death put away with, and there you are. There you are for a moment, for 5 seconds, for 2 minutes, whatever it is. You're without a nature. And the Spirit of God begins to brood over you as the earth was in the water and out of the water in the transition. And all of a sudden, the Lord of heaven invigorates that seed. And it's like Mount St. Helens. It goes to... There you start your birth. Glory to God.
Amen.
Except a man be born from above. Not the old one patched up, but the new genos of God quickened, and He breathed. And your little seed caught it. This is the little guy that we can read the quotes to and say, you never sinned in the first place. You're sinless, little brother. Let's stand. Glory to God. John 1:12, we'll look at it in the morning. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The word received is to take up a thing, to be carried, to take upon oneself, to take an order, to carry away, to choose, select, experience, get back. But as many as got back the authority to become sons. Not that you was becoming something you wasn't. You got back authority to become what you were. Cool. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To them gave He exousia, power, authority to become, fulfill prophecy. Walk into that which has been set aside to become. Notice it doesn't say Christ made them sons. Read it. Doesn't say Christ made them sons. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become. He didn't make you a son. You was already that.
Amen.
But He come to release, invigorate that seed. To give you the authority to become what God said you already were. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray you take these precious, wonderful things tonight, Father. Sink them so deep into our souls, mighty God. Lord, if there's one here tonight who's not died to that old nature, they've tried to be a Christian in that old nature, may you help them. Lord, maybe they've tried this and that and the other, and they've just been one failure after another. May they realize, Lord, they'll never be able to be a born-again Christian in that own nature. They will have to give you complete submission, control, that that nature can be killed and it can die. Then with it, we will be forgiven of that old nature because it was committed in this body, in this house. Most of us would be very funny. We'd have a very, very peculiar view if we were looking in a home in Johnson City or Elizabethton or wherever it is, and we went to look at this place and, oh my, it was so nice. But then somebody told us, you realize there's a murder committed in there? Do you realize there's people killed in there? Oh, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. Oh, no, I wouldn't want that. Lord, help us to realize there's got to be a death in this house. But it won't be the memories of that old ghost that'll be alive. There'll be a new nature that'll be born. And since it's virgin, that means it's a candidate to be the wife of the high priest. A regular priest could take the wife of another priest, but not a high priest. A high priest could only marry a virgin, and he could only marry a woman of his own tribe, of his own type. If she'd even been touched, slept with another man, he could not marry her. This is the way you and your sovereignty devised this plan before the world ever began. Knowing that your elect would be born with these evil, sinful nature, and they would be married as far as in that body and that nature of theirs. How could it ever be that you would ever get them as yours? And you devised this wonderful, tremendous plan. Let that nature die. And let them be born again. And do away with that old life. And forgive that old life that existed in that body. Praise God. And then I will quicken, invigorate that seed gene. And it will come to life. And I will ask them, will you marry me? And they all will say, I will. They won't have to pray about it, think about it, consider it, think it over. Immediately, they'll respond. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. How we long for the day when the older brother will become the words that the Father is speaking to him about mercy and forgiveness. Amen. The Father enveloping into this older brother the plan of redemption, but he can't comprehend it. He's angry, he's mad, he's whatever more. He's still not born from above. But we know there's hope for the older brother. How many have I buried since I've been your Lord? I think Sister Naomi sent me a thing the other day and said about 100 now, I think, if she had the number right. About 100, those that have come to the church and those that have been associated with the church. 100 people. I buried them over here at Happy Valley. I buried them out at Gray, Boone's Creek, Sir Gorensville, Kingsport, Church Hill. Lord, they're laying everywhere. Funerals down in Kentucky. Bodies that we've committed to the ground. Glory. But the promise that at that older brother, everything that he has is his. That's his key to reconciliation and redemption. Lord God, we're so grateful tonight. Father, may you encourage every heart that's down. Heal those that are sick. Lift up the weary, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, second Adam,
for being a quickening spirit. No wonder that little woman at the well, that seed was hid in that prostitute body. But that prostitute darkness could not hide that seed. For the second Adam, glory to God, the second Adam was now speaking to her. And he spoke directly to that seed. Oh, that outside caught it first and she got real religious. But he went down to that seed of life. The invigorating power of God got a hold of that seed and the seed jumped to life. It had been placed there before the foundation of the world. That outside body of hers had been married all those times. That body and that old nature had a prostitute attitude, a prostitute mentality. But I imagine when that little new baby was born by the breath of God, thoughts began to go through that woman's mind about sharing this word. What would make a prostitute change so quickly? The second man, Adam. The invigorating power so overwhelmed her, she couldn't keep it to herself. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, children, don't you love Him tonight? Let's raise our hands in the presence of that quickening power. Glory to God. That same Lord Jesus that's quickened our souls has also quickened our mortal bodies. I don't mind telling you, we're not just waiting after a while. Don't you understand what helped you to lay aside your habits and things of the world in your body when your body still craved them? The Spirit of God brought your body subject to the Word. The Holy Ghost, listen to me. The Holy Ghost gave your body a temporary resurrection and loosed you from those things of the world. Hallelujah. Which you could never do on your own. It quickened your body. It is a sign it's going to be changed. Your older brother is following the conversion of the young prodigal. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Let's just worship Him, children. Oh, let's just raise our hands and our voices now. Can we take just a few minutes? Let's just close our eyes. Glory to God, that quickening power is here in the building right now. If you need healing in your body, let the quickener come by. You understand what divine healing is? It's a down payment of the resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Receive your healing. Receive encouragement tonight. Receive that uplifting in your spirit. Glory to God. The Lord from heaven is walking here among us. That second Adam, the quickener of the spirit, the quickener of the body, the quickener of your mind, the looser of your bindings, the looser of the problems and the things you're going through. Hallelujah. Death has to give way at His command. Sickness has to give way at His command. Powers of hell have to give way at His command. Blessed Lord Jesus. Blessed Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're the mighty God. Walk here among us tonight, risen Lord. Hallelujah. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. Our deliverer. Our El Gabor. Our El Shaddai. Glory to God. Great Adonai Elohim. We bless your mighty name, Lord. You're our quickener tonight, Lord. Those that need healing, Father, may the healing virtue flow right from your word tonight. Those in the building, those that are streaming the service, may the presence of God come right down in the living room now, Lord. Heal their afflicted bodies. Those that are weary, Father. Those that are discouraged, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Grant it, I pray, Lord. We bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, second Adam, Lord of heaven and earth. King of eternity, the great, only, immortal, wise God. To Him be glory and dominion and power forever and ever. Yes. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Can we just say it together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last, Adam, was made a quickening spirit to cause to live, make alive, give life by spiritual power to arouse and invigorate, metaphorically of seeds quickened into life, germinating, springing up, growing. Glory be to God. If your husband is a living husband, I don't figure he's going to marry a dead woman. That's why your seed's got to be quickened before you can ever get married to him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Can't you see why you can't get married to him when you were a dead seed? Well, can't you see why you could not be united together in that invisible union? Life must marry life. And it had to quicken you, Lord of mercy. Don't you understand? It was not Christ outside of you giving you power. It was Christ in you.
Amen. Mm.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving us more of your word. More of who we are, Father. Hallelujah. Where we're going and where we come from, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, then we are not made over. Lord, we're not patched up. Lord, we're not repaired and sent to some kind of repair shop. We are a new person. A new creature. New bride. With a new life. And that old life is forgiven. Hallelujah. We are new bride. Glory be to God. And against that person, there is no mark. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Oh, I wish somebody just helped me love him. I know, friends, I know our words are so feeble that they feel so small, or mine do. My words feel so small and so inadequate to try to express them to him, but I'd rather use what feeble ability I have than not say nothing at all. I'd rather be found guilty of using feebleness than not putting forth any effort. Let me take my little feeble words. Let me take my small understanding. Let me take my inability and praise him with all that I can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't you just thank him tonight for being your Savior, for being your healer, for being your Redeemer, for being your invigorator, for being the quickener of the seed life, for being your husband, for being your resurrection, for being, oh, all that he is to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, living God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we are now in the changing as it was. The earth that was in the water and out of the water and the pre-antediluvian stage and now moving up, Lord, for the mist to be rolled away into a millennium body. Lord Jesus, may we feast upon your word, Heavenly Father, till it forces us to a change. Grant it, Lord, we pray tonight, Father, as a metamorphosis comes in line with our souls. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Oh, I don't think you're done tonight. I think you need to love him a little more. I think you desires a little bit more from you. Praise his name. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Brother Larry, let's sing together Amazing Grace. You mean, Brother Donnie, you can still sing Amazing Grace after that? Sure. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Lost like the prodigal son was lost. Out of circulation. I was dead. I was blind. But now I see. But I'm born from above. I said I'm born from above. Of his own will he begat me. He didn't need my permission. He didn't need my say-so. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Oh, glory. Amazing grace. How sweet. Everybody now. Oh, don't you love it? Amazing grace, a wretch like me. Sing it now, little brother. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see again. Praise God, amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a sinner like me. Oh, once was lost. Imagine when the little brother and the big brother get together and they're both changed and they may sing something like this. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Just between you and the world. The battle's going to be over between you and you. Your little brother and your older brother. When that battle's over, and you know what'll settle it? The body change. Your body will be changed like your soul's already been changed. Then the battle will be over and both of them will come up and sit under Father's house. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall.